We live in a really tough time. COVID, you know, polarized, dysfunctional political system, social and racial injustice. And then we can add to all that just the forest fires, if you're in Colorado and other states in the West, just big forest fires. You know, the last thing we need during COVID is something else to challenge our lungs. So it's a tough time. And obviously, it isn't enough to only meditate and, you know, work with our inner landscape. We need to be taking action in the world. It's, you know, and Dharma in the West, you know, is skewed more to the internal focus and not focus as much on how do we take action. So I just want to say a little bit about that. And, you know, the whole a Dharma-based action is essentially, we start with the understanding that, you know, that we have dukkha, that we suffer on the inside. Even when things are going well, there can be difficulty. And so the path of awakening is really to get clear on the inside what helps free your mind. And so Dharma-based action takes that wisdom and applies it to the world. So if we can't get clear on the inside, how to solve dukkha, how can we solve the dukkha of the world? And of course, it's a both and. We can't wait till enlightenment to take action. We need to take action as we walk our path. The first principle of a Dharma-based action or activism is that everything is interrelated. Nothing is separate. We're not isolated. And so we must, to be effective, tend to the relationships of any situation. You know, and the Buddha said, if we practice good relating with our family and our friends and our work colleagues and our community, you know, that naturally builds out to social justice. We take those relations into our political and economic structures. So, you know, again, relating well is the template ultimately for social and political justice. And politics as usual is all about power, and there's winners and losers. Instead of people trying to listen to, understand each other and bridge their differences, this is, you know, relational Dharma is listening to people who don't look like you or think like you or pray like you, and try to understand what it's like to be them. And that's not about winning. It's not about power over, it's about relationship with. So if our activism is really relationship-centered, we take care of all the relationships we're embedded in as we advocate for what we believe in. So that's the first principle. And within that principle, you know, the Dharma path is one we could say of perfecting love. We could think of awakening as one way to think of awakening. There's many ways, but one way is perfecting your ability to love. The more clear, the more open, the less separate you feel, the better you can love. And you can love difficult people. You can love people that you believe are causing harm, or practicing hate or practicing racism. And so how do we love those people? And I just want to read a quote from Martin Luther King. He said, "There's a great need for mankind to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence. mankind must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundation of such a method is love. So this leads to the second principle. If effective action tends to the relationships involved, then love is the foundation. And the Buddha was very clear that when he taught about how to act, he taught about acting from skillful states of mind. Greed, aversion, and delusion are the root, unskillful states. So the opposite is generosity would be the opposite of greed, or renunciation. And love is the opposite of aversion. And wisdom is the opposite of delusion. So we want our actions to be based in generosity, in love, and wisdom. So we see clearly a situation and we act for something. We don't have to act against something. We want to act for something. So even when there's something you're opposing, say, you know, bigotry, what are you acting for? You're acting for respect, understanding differences, for justice. So we want to just, we have a negativity bias of our brain. We're so easily captured by, that's terrible, that's awful, I have to oppose that. And yes, we do. But we're opposing it so that we can act towards and for something. So motivation is everything for our activism. What are we motivating by? Hatred or love? And then the third principle. So the first is tend to relationships. Second is notice your motivation and act from love. And the third is to separate people from their actions. And we want to oppose harmful actions, harmful points of view, harmful speech. But we don't have to oppose people, because people are mysterious. Who are we really underneath it all? It's hard to know. It's really hard to know. Even someone you disagree with very strongly politically, we don't know what their secret life is really like inside. So we need to remember, as we act and take action, it's still a world of human beings. And the Dalai Lama says this very clearly: oppose harmful action, but don't oppose people. And the metta or loving kindness point of view is we can take forceful action even. Action that even might have some fierceness to it, while not denigrating people in our minds. We can still wish people well. That's metta. You know, may you be happy. You can wish someone you're in conflict with, even as you work to impose their actions, you can still wish them well. And the more you feel, oh, this is a human being I'm opposing, not an enemy, but a human being, that's actually comforting to oneself in conflict, to remember it's not an enemy, it's another human being struggling, just like we're struggling. So just two more really quick ones, because just a time here. The fourth principle of Dharma-based action is we're not attached to results. We take action for the sake of acting. We act from our integrity and our care. And then we can't control what happens with our actions. We can just act. And we need to remember again and again, we act and then we let go. We act and we let go. And we don't take responsibility for results because they're not up to us. And then the last principle of Dharma-based action is we're not attached to views. So we let go of attachment to results, but we also let go of attachment to views. Our thoughts are very limited. If I say the thought, oh, I had a great sit, or oh, I had a terrible sit, either thought can't capture reality, because the concept sit, I had a sit, it was a nice sit. It's taking this flow of experience, you know, 30 minutes of the mind going all over the place in the heart, and saying it's a sit, like it's a thing, you know, it's like it's a banana. It's not a thing, it's flow. And so that's just one example of the way our concepts just cannot really capture how things are. And so Dharma-based action recognizes that conceptual mind can be useful and helpful, but never ultimately true, because thoughts just can't quite capture reality. So we have our points of view. There's no way not to have points of view, but we recognize and make room for other points of view. And then we're back to that relational thing where we're curious. Oh, huh, that's how they roll. Huh, what's it like for them? Okay, that's enough. Let me stop there. And